Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
Welcome along to Friday Night Racing. John Duggan with you here this week. Day 5 of the Galway races at Ballybridge. Delighted to be joined by our racing guru, Johnny Ward, and also the man of the week, Aubrey McMahon. 20 years of age, and you have a great winner on Uradel in the Amateur Derby, I think it's called, the Connacht Hotel Handicap. And you still must be on cloud 9, Aubrey.
Yeah, enjoying it. So I am. When I won it last year, I said, well, any amateur to win that race is... I think any amateur would love to have that race in their CV. When I won it last year, I said I'd try and soak up as much of it as I could. And when I got to the races the other day, I said, geez, I think I have a good chance of doing it again this year. Just I'll soak even more of it up this year.
Last year was on Whiskey Sour. You're riding for your dad, Luke, in those kind of, I think they're violet and yellow silk. So how did the 2 days compare a year on?
I had two good rides the 2 years. Last year, I suppose, was very surreal. When I went past the line, it was... When I look back at it now, it's like a bit of a blur, to be honest. It was only my second ride back, sort of, when I decided I was going back racing full-time. Like, on my second ride back, and I wasn't... You don't expect to win a big race like that. A year later, since I've been doing it full-time, I suppose, the more you appreciate how big a race it is to win. And I was just hoping I'd have a ride in it this year. Because it's just such a great race to be a part of, and winning it this year was just brilliant.
Your fifth win over Rules, and when you turn around the bend, your horse begins to pick up, and you see Limini there, and then you win going away. Is it just pure euphoria? Is it almost like an out of body experience when you know you've won this race again at Galway?
It's a feeling you can't describe, really. I suppose if you ask any jockey whether they won a big race, any big race, whether it's the Grand National or GP or Derby or anything, any big valuable race that a lot of jockeys aim to win, it's just a feeling you can't really describe. I suppose it's a bit like if you're a football player, maybe winning the Champions League or scoring the winning goal or something like that. I suppose they'd be able to probably tell you the same thing.
And you're steeped in the game. Your dad, Luke, likes a punt. But also has had horses with Willie for many years. I remember Homer Wells winning the Tiestas years ago at Nibelheim a few years ago, and Blueberry won at Cheltenham. Were you at Cheltenham this year to see Blueberry?
I was at Cheltenham, yeah. I was at Cheltenham. That was a brilliant day. It was as good a winner as I've enjoyed on my feet. I couldn't have enjoyed it anymore.
Did you back him?
I didn't. No, no, I don't back him. Not little back horses, but no, it was brilliant. We've had a great year now since it's been. A brilliant year, since Whiskey Sour winning last year the GPT, Celius Emery won the Grade 1 Novice at Punchestown as well, Blueberry at Cheltenham again, Uradel this year. So we've had a brilliant year now, and we can't see, you know what I mean.
And day to day, you're riding out for Willie, for Gordon Elliott as well, and you're enjoying that, getting up early in the morning and working the horses?
Yeah, sure, listen, it's a lifestyle, I don't think of it as a job.
It's a vocation.
Yeah, I'm up every morning at 6 o'clock. I go down. I've been sort of in Willie Mullins just the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks because I knew I had Uradel there to ride, and I wanted to be riding him out every morning. And Gordon Elliott's only 20 minutes up the road, and I get on very well with Gordon, so I go up to Gordon kind of when I can, you know.
Johnny, we're talking about out-of-body experiences. Have you had any this week in the betting ring?
No, definitely not. It was a bloodbath, to be honest.
Was it?
The week. Oh, yeah. Monday seems a long time ago, you know, and... Limini being beaten was kind of a sore point for a lot of people, thanks to this lad, you know, because Limini was well back. But there were 33-1 crackers for the bookmakers on the Wednesday. 2 33-1 shots. Mark Enright rode both.
Story as well for him.
Ah, absolutely. You know, I think Galway's more about that. Colin Kidd has 4 horses. He says 3 of them are probably not really much good, and one of them is Rashan, and then he wins in Galway. You know, he said, without him, I'd be nothing. Then you've Mark Enright, who admitted that he was on his knees, and this is notwithstanding his battles of mental health that he's gone through, but on his knees professionally this year, in the sense that just couldn't really get rides. And Aubrey spoke about Gordon there. Gordon has been an unbelievable backer of so many people in racing, staff and jockeys, and he's given jockeys a second chance. He didn't need to give Mark Enright a second chance, he just needed to give him a chance because he wouldn't have much of a relationship. And all of a sudden he wins on Clarkham in the Galway Plate, and you know, Mark is just such a popular low weight jockey. I think that's what Galway is about, more so than Jigginstown winning it or, you know, JP winning big races. I think it's more about the personalities and life struggles, I suppose, and the joys that Galway can bring.
It's accessibility, isn't it? Because you might not get that at Cheltenham, where it's the, you know, the AP McCoys of the past, or the Richard Johnsons, or Ruby, or Davy Russell. It's about Mark Enright having a chance, or it's about Patrick Mullins becoming the first. I know he's had a lot of success, but becoming the first amateur since 1991 to win the Galway Hurdle.
And not only that, then, you know, Patrick has never won the Monday feature, and this lad has had five winners, and two of them have been the best. You know, Galway's a crazy place, but I used to sort of resent the fact that it had its fair share of sort of 0-70 handicaps and stuff like that. But the older I get, the more I see how much it means to people, and the fact that if you spread the wealth around, actually, I think everyone is happier.
And Rachel Blackmore as well, winning on Blackheath—that's a great story in front of the cameras. And
yeah, absolutely. And
she'd be well known in racing circles, but we're also looking at an audience that might not tune into racing that much. Maybe tune into Galway, sure. Tune into Cheltenham.
Like, you called Aubrey the man of the week. I think Willie's probably been the man of the week in the amount of winners he's had. And the Mee family, I think, have had five winners as owners, which is beyond incredible, really, the odds of that happening. But then you have Rachel having a winner as well. And I think that was important because we'd four female riders winning at Cheltenham, one in every seven races, one with a broken collarbone up the hill. You know, I thought that was marvellous for racing, a lot more than money can any promotion of the sport. That sort of stuff, I think, is what makes racing special. And Rachel Blackmore leading the title by seven, I think, the last I counted. I was actually interviewed by TG Carr. They were doing a piece on female jockeys, and they're just totally they love this story, and they love the fact that Rachel, they're actually saying, could she win the title? It's outlandish, but it's not 100-1.
Well, they should be just called jockey, shouldn't they? It's like the Absolutely. Women's hockey team. They should be just called a hockey team. Dermot Weld, only one winner in 4 days. What's that all about?
Yeah, he didn't turn up the last couple of days. I think he was afraid he was going to go through the meeting without a winner, and he couldn't maybe show his face, because I think Dermot has made Galway. Dermot has been the biggest influence in Galway's promotion in terms of quality, I think, more than anyone. You know, the two-year-old maiden, he's just made it so strong. He reminded me yesterday, he was very instrumental in bringing that three-year-old listed race that was won by Yulon Gold Ferry into Galway's programme, because he felt a three-year-old listed race might suit. And he then reminded me that he'd won it a few times. But I thought if Dermot went through the week without a winner, it just wouldn't have felt right. And I was glad he did. And he's a very strong chance today. He's an odds-on filly running in a maiden. Slightly worried about the ground. But you look at the quality of Galway now, John. I mean, the Blazers today, which is obviously a Galway Plate sort of secondary race for horse is not good enough. It looks like a Galway Plate of about 15 years ago. The top weight's 140, the bottom's 124. The hurdle has become incredibly competitive. Like, you've a grade one horse winning the Galway Hurdle, and that's what it's going to be. Galway is just, in terms of quality, has gone way up.
Patrick, good for him to win after the other day, yesterday. And you can just see the special nature of when Willie and Patrick have a big winner like that. They've had winners at Cheltenham, but a Galway Hurdle, that is a special victory on Sharjah. And the horse, as Johnny said, is a class act.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Patrick said after, he's probably right, he probably took him a while to get over his fall, you know. He had it, he was going to win a novice hurdle there at Christmas. It appeared there might have been a shadow or something that day.
That was absolutely mad, because there were two horses jumped the last.
Yeah, Sharjah and Real Steel, was it?
Yeah.
The two of them.
And your lad picked up.
And Whiskey Sour was behind them in third, and he somehow managed to jump it and avoid the fallers at the back of it. But I was delighted for Patrick the other day. He was the first one with a big smile on his face the other day going past the line to congratulate me. Very good friends with him. He's very good to me. Anytime I have a race, he'll always give me a ring and go through it from start to finish. And he's always looking out for me, and I'm very good friends. I was delighted for him yesterday.
What's your ambition in the game then, Aubrey, going forward? Is it just to work with horses? I mean, have you got any kind of long-term plans, or is it just all about the moment now?
Well, I'm working 7 days a week now. I'm riding out every morning. I'm in the gym every second day. I'm just up in Ted Walsh has a simulator up in his yard, so I'm up there a couple of days a week using that. I'm putting all of my efforts going into riding at the minute. Like when you're a kid, you dream of being a professional jockey. I'm quite happy riding as an amateur at the minute anyway, and I'm just loving what I'm doing.
Just one thing on that as well, John. Like, Rachel Blackmore, she went from amateur to pro, and people said she'd no chance. Look how much she's improved because she's riding horses. She's just riding consistently, and that's what it is. You know, people might say, what's Aubrey's ambition in this game? You know, we only see him every couple of months or whatever, but if he starts riding good horses, maybe a latent talent will actually emerge as well that we've already seen.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it's got to do with confidence. I'm sure you felt more confident a year on Uridel than you did on Whiskey Sour a year ago. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, big time. Like, I've had more rides, I suppose, going into this year. Like, had I 8 rides going into the race last year or something like that? Like, I had little or none experience to go into a race like that last year to go and win.
And a horse who was totally unproven over 2 miles as well. Like.
Exactly. So, I think Willie said after, like, he was happy last year after Whiskey Sour won that they were quite happy with his work. It was just me having very few rides. Was I going to be able to handle the traffic situations that you're going to run into in a big race like that? And I did anyway, thank God.
Yeah, I love the fact then on Monday after the high of that, like, he ends up on his ass when Bazio just unseats
him.
Yeah,
that's the game, isn't it?
I thought that was just perfect.
It's a great leveller, isn't it?
Yeah, and he came in with all this grass and his backside, like, from a fall of a horse before the start that was withdrawn, and I had to smile at him and said, it's still not a bad day.
No, exactly. Yeah. As Patrick said to me after, he says he still won the GPT, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Well, it's such also a dangerous game. Your health is so important. You must have friends, though, as well, at your own age. Do you ever kind of have, thinking about, well, I could be going to Australia, at the travel bug, or I could be doing other things, or I could be eating what I want, or do those things not even come into your head because you love racing so much?
They don't enter my mind, to be honest. I see a lot of my friends in college during their second and third year, and they still don't know what they're going to do, like, career-wise or anything like that. I'm very lucky to. I've been racing all my life. I knew since I was 16 when I got out my amateur license that I wanted to ride horses for a living. And so, yeah, that's one thing I always say to myself, that I was always lucky that I was kind of brought up into racing and that I always wanted to be in racing. And so, and winning big races there on Monday kind of makes you think to yourself, at least I'm doing something right.
You were 16 when you rode your first winner. What have you learned about horses in the intervening years?
Still learning. You learn. Yeah, you're always learning in this game.
What's their personality? I mean, you know,
horses are very much like humans. They all have their own personalities. You get to know them as you go along. Some horses are lazy. Some of them are keen. Some of them just have a little streak in them that they could drop you in a second out of nowhere. And some of them are just real hardy, and some of them are soft, and that's just the way they are, you know.
Where does Uridel fall into that?
Uridel's a good character now, I must say. He's grand now, but when Uridel comes in now, when he came in there after his last injury, when he's fresh now, he just completely another takes the mick out of you. He'd run away with you on the gallop, and the more you pull out of him, the more he'd laughing at you, and the more he'd pull even harder. Whereas if you wouldn't pull out of him, he probably said, I'm not taking a mick out of him. I'll ease off him a bit because, like, you know. So he's a good character now in the yard, and the girls in the yard love him.
Just time to look ahead to the weekend's action, folks. Galway today, tomorrow, Sunday. Good one is on as well. Johnny, let's look ahead to the big races at Ballybridge over the next 3 days. We'll start with today's card. It's the Guinness Handicap, the feature at 6:30. Limini, beaten the other day, but a strong favourite for this one.
Yeah, you know, the beauty of Galway for Connections of Limini to be able to say, like, you know, you failed on Monday because you were done by your stable mate, but you can rock up in a premier handicap on the Friday and be a 11-8 favourite and be £11 officially well in. And I think that's, like, I never remember a horse being that well in who actually had been beaten in its previous race before. But the £11 is probably justified. Kevin Manning gets a ride, and a great ride for Kevin to get. He's ridden a winner or two for Willie. I think he rode Riven Light for Willie, actually, to success. Yeah. We saw Riven Light, I mean, perhaps the story of the week in many respects. But Limini, to me, looks a good thing. I just, as long as she turns up, you know, but Willie wouldn't be chancing her. I think he'd be fairly confident that she'll show her form. Gustavus Vasa in the race as well, like, he's looked very well handicapped, but I think she'll outstay him. I wouldn't put anyone off having their biggest bet of the week on her, if you have any money left.
Aubrey, I'm sure you've got plenty of, because you don't gamble, money left. Anything that you liked on tonight's card?
Johnny's probably right. Limini's, like, as he says, £11 well in. But listen, you don't know until you I saw Uridel is running tomorrow, and he looks in good shape since his run. Limini did too. But, you know, you don't know until you run. You don't know until you run again if the race took its toll or not. She's, what is she, 5-4? Like, she's, there's...
That's the only question, really, is her well-being, not the opposition.
It's a good race now, having said this.
It's a very competitive handicap. If you were giving me a fiver each way free bet in it, there's a horse down the bottom, Curly Bill. He won the race 5 years
ago. Remember a while, yeah.
Now, he has very little mileage on the clock since. He's 10 years of age now. He's had plenty of injuries since it, but I think he's running off £6 lower than he did 5 years ago when he won it. He's 12-1 and the favourite's 11-8. If you invested in tenner, I'd have the five each way.
If you saw the way she travelled though on Monday, it was just like the whole way, and then everyone watching in the press room was like, "Look at Lemony," and then just somebody in the background said, "She has to look behind her. Look at Yoradell, you know." But she pulled miles clear of third.
Yeah,
they were long way clear of third. Yeah.
Now you're riding over Jumps tomorrow for the first ever time in a race course. Is that correct?
That's right.
This is the good thing of the weekend now, isn't it?
Yeah. How are you feeling about this?
I'm looking forward to it. I've ridden in plenty of school and hurlers and thurlers, Punchestown, and plenty of schooling at home, over fences and
is it more enjoyable than a flat race?
Ah, yeah, you get a bit of key. Well, listen, I've never ridden in... Well, I've ridden in school and hurlers. I've never ridden in a race on TV over hurlers, so I'm looking forward to it. You get that extra kick out of it, don't you, when you're galloping down to a hurdle and over seven or eight hurdles, don't you?
And you have to judge the pace of the race more, do you think?
Well, it depends if you're, you have to judge the pace of any race you're riding in, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're making the run in, yeah, there's more emphasis on you to, because you're going to have 19 lads behind you if you're making the run in tomorrow. But
and are you going to do that?
Tell us about the horse. What's the horse's name?
Suwinda.
Suwinda. I think it's in the 520, folks. The 520 Suwinda tomorrow in Galway. Each way chance.
So we'll jump around and see who we get on.
Come on, Aubrey. Come on. You're like your father now. You've been very coy.
So you're the one that's all the form, don't you?
I know, but you're the one that's actually riding the horse at home.
Yeah, sure.
Tactics made the running in Clonmel. Mare that stays very well. Full of confidence after Monday. Yeah. Although, did the bumper, you know, being thrown on your ass affect your confidence?
No, we'll be fine.
He's only having the crack. Is there anything else in the card tonight, Johnny, that you like?
Yeah, it's Joseph Ryan's horse in the first race I'd be a big fan of now.
Cosmic Horizon,
yeah. The place swap we've done all week to no avail as yet, although we're getting a bit closer. I put in a couple of horses and one of them's a non-runner, Pepperoni Piece. I'm very sweet on Cosmic Horizon, big eye catcher at Bellewsound. And owned by Joe Schmidt. So I'm thinking, is there a little bit of a laid out for Galway here? And, you know,
Schmidt?
Yes.
Wow.
Hasn't had enough success already this year, Joe
Schmidt?
Well, this is it. You know, a trainer who is quite softly, quietly spoken, and an owner who doesn't say a great deal either, I think, in general to the press. But I'd say they love a winner on Galway. Not a great race. And if you look at Aidan has a runner in the race, and Coral Beach, she looks like the hill is the last thing that she wants. In fact, racing in general doesn't look like she really enjoys it at times. So I think this thing's a great each-way chance.
Now, we're talking about the play spot here. We got €100, folks, for charity this week again, thanks to our friends at thetote.com. We're going to take a look at the play spot. Johnny's going to do it. I'm not going to do it. For the last 3 days at Galway. So tonight, tomorrow and Sunday, we'll aim to spend around 30 each day in the play spot over the weekend. And that leaves us with €16 today and then €20 for a win bet. So is this money going on Cosmic Horizon, this €20 win bet tonight? Or is it on something else? On the nose,
yeah.
With the tote, okay? We'll see what the odds are with the tote. And the play spot. So the aim, folks, is to try and win across six races. You have to try and get a horse placed over six races, but you can do as many combinations as you want. So in six races, you could have a five horses in one race, three horses in another race, two horses in another race, and then one and one and one. And that would, at a €1 stake, add up to about €30. And that's how the play spot works. So you can have as many horses as you want, but given you're trying to get horses to place, you don't have to have the winner of every race. So it's a good kind of insurance bet to have. And you've gone for Johnny Cosmic Horizon in the first. In race two, it's the first six races, not all of the races. Lady Godiva and Gizzy Gazelle. In race three, Lure of the Sea and She's Gold. In race four, Lemony is the banker. In race five, Wicklow Brave is the banker. And then a lot of horses in this last race, the sixth race. Viewmore Van, Snugsborough Benny, Mine Now and Mighty Stowaway. Is that because it's a really trappy race?
That's by far the hardest race, at least on paper. Handicap chase with not many of them having a great deal in hand, and you know, obviously we'll need look and run, and the ground is a bit of an imponderable as well because it's soft, but it's not winter soft by any means, so you're kind of wondering about that. But dare I say it, I'd be fairly confident going into the last that we will be still alive, because it's not the hardest card. Wicklow Brave just probably has to turn up. Lemony to place, She just has to run remotely close to her form. And the other ones, I can't see Josephs out of the three in the first. So I'm making it sound easy, but it's a great bet, the play spot bet, and it's guaranteed for 30,000. And although I do think if it's won tonight, it will be shared because it's not the hardest of the cards this week.
Have you a history of winning play spots or jackpots or pick sixes? Have you ever won them?
I've won the play spot a few times. Nothing major. I've gone for the pick six and reasonably close, but often after Galway or one of the big meets, there's this major rollover somewhere like Sligo on Monday or Tuesday, and it's kind of mad, like, cause it's a small card, but loads of people who really follow it are mad into the play spot, and that's when it gets or into the pick six, that's when it gets really, really interesting. But play spot's a great bet, I think, for anyone trying to get into racing. Great bet to keep you interested throughout the card.
And Aubrey, of course, I know you don't gamble because you can't, but, you know, would you have, when you were younger, would you have done play spots or jackpots or?
Ah, yes. Listen, I think anyone growing up.
When you were the legal age now, of course.
No, it's legal. Yeah. I think anyone growing up, their first memory going racing is going up to the tote with your fiver bet or doing whatever. Do you know what I mean? My earliest actually memory in racing is going to the big tote stand up beside the bookies ring in Galway, going up there with your couple of euro and having it on a horse or doing a play spot or something like that, you know.
I thought Galway did a great job, the new building as well, the new Tote Ladbrokes building, and they have kind of a champagne bar up top. It really looks magnificent. Yeah. Like, it's a really, really fine racetrack. The weather hasn't been kind, but the place...
What's the atmosphere been like down there with the punters? Are people enjoying themselves? What's the kind of crowd like? Is it?
Yeah, the crowd is slightly down, and they changed the plate day to an evening meet to kind of, I suppose, to fight the tide of its slight decline in terms of crowds. But the weather was so bad on plate day, it was completely inconclusive. But I think, you know, Ruby winning the first race was very fitting. There was a great buzz then for him, because people recognise he's not going to be around forever. He's probably not going to be around for many more years, really. And for him to win the first race, and it's still Galway is Galway. I'd be slightly worried for the crowd later in the week with the hurling and the football maybe taking over a little bit, but Galway is still a special place.
Are you into other sports, Aubrey?
Not really. I suppose when you're dedicated to racing, you don't have much time to get involved in anything else. But I play a bit of golf if I get the time during the summer and the weather's permit. I play a bit of golf, but that'll be about it.
We're talking about big wins. Is there anything you remember, like having that fiver on that in a big race that kind of came through or anything?
No, I never backed the winner.
And has a pick six been a good thing for Irish racing? I was always a jackpot player for many years. I remember my dad, he's well deceased now, but he won the jackpot on his own on St. Stephen's Day at Leopardstown in 1991. And it was a lot of money at the
different times.
And like, I remember he was laying off. He actually had various selections in the last race. He was laying off with a bookie and stuff. And then when they had rails, bookies were a really, really big thing. But I've never won. I think I won a jackpot once at Goran Park. It was about 1,500 quid. But it's a very hard thing to win. I would say the pick six is even harder to win.
It is hard to win. So obviously, as you spoke about the play spot, you have to put in a few selections in certain races. But when the pool gets really big, you're entitled to dream.
A million quid or something like that.
Absolutely. It was absolutely colossal there a few years ago. I think after Galway. Normally happens after one of the big meets, but yeah, it's, and you can go in with your mates and do it. Like, that's normally what happens. Like, somebody on WhatsApp will come in, and 10 of us will put in, you know, pool of resources together. Inevitably, have an argument about one or two selections, which will cost you the million. That will happen as well. It actually will. But you have to remain friends and get up and go to racing on the Monday.
And now for you, Aubrey, are you going to take any break? You can take a holiday with the deserved or to the deserved victory of Urdale, or do you kind of just want to get back into it?
No, the holiday will be the last thing I'll be doing. After winning a big race like that, you'd be hoping to keep the head down that you're after winning a big race that a lot of people saw. So again, I have a ride tomorrow and possibly might have one next week. So you're kind of, when it's going like that, you keep it going.
The iron's,
you know?
Hot, yeah. Absolutely. I remember Joseph O'Brien a few years ago. The first time I really saw Joseph O'Brien, because I'd seen him down at Ballydoyle. I was on a tour of Ballydoyle as he was 16-year-old, and he's just riding out for Aidan. And then the next time I saw him was winning races at Galway, and that was really the baptism for his career. And then he's winning derbies and that kind of thing. Anything you like or the rest of the weekend at Goodwood or on Saturday or Sunday or anything at Galway? You got a leg in something, Johnny, I heard?
Yeah, hopefully. Myself and a few other characters involved in racing, we've a leg in Fuert in the Premier Handicap on the Sunday, and we thought he was going to get into the Monday 0-80 Handicap, and he didn't. So we were gutted because we didn't think he'd a hope of getting in on Sunday. So I'd actually more or less forgotten about it, and the WhatsApp came up this morning, and he got in. He literally bottom weight, got in by the skin of his teeth. Rory Cleary rides him. I'm not telling you he'll win, but he'll be a good price. And if things fall into place, he's loads of ability. And I am looking forward to that. And I won't be able to go, but I'm looking forward to the hurling as well. And looking forward to seeing this man maybe riding horses that aren't owned by his dad. I think that might be the way you'd be hoping to go as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You'd listen, getting outside rides is hard. Like, you're competing, you're riding against Patrick Mullins and Jamie Codd and them lads. Like, you're not going to be getting, you're not going to be riding 7 days a week. Like, but
Willie won't set you wrong. You know, Willie's, I'd say, a good man.
The other thing as well, though, like, just because there's this kind of thing in sport in general, when it's like the father and the son, Oscar, he's only doing this because his father is that. Like, he's ridden two winners of one of the toughest races to ride for an amateur in the whole sport. And they weren't short prices by any means. Like, these were both double figure prizes. He rode them. Now, he probably made good tactical judgments. He was on good horses, but this lad clearly does have talent, and people should remember that as well. It's not just because he's riding for his dad.
Orby, I want to savour the victory. I'm sure you will. You give us the sense that you really enjoyed Uradell the other day, and wish you every success in the future. And thanks so much for coming into the
studios. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Of Off the Ball for Friday Night Racing. And Johnny, the best luck of the weekend. I'm not going to wish you luck for Clare and Galway, because Clare is my team.
Your Premier League selection for the year ahead?
Is Manchester City. I actually just interviewed Ronnie Whelan, and I think Liverpool are going to be closer, but I think Manchester City are the team to beat this season.
And your long-term Cheltenham selection?
Long-term Cheltenham. I haven't. I really like, I'm so, like yourself, I'm so in the moment, Aubrey and Johnny, like I'm so in the moment of the PIGA next week. Is it Ricky Fowler or Patrick Cantlay, or is it Clare and Limerick? The long-term selections are way out of my head. I couldn't even tell you. I think Native River won the Gold Cup last year. That's all I know. But that's all we have got time for on Friday Night Racing for this week. We got Cork and we got the Curra next week. So lots to look forward to in 7 days' time, and we'll see you then.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.